This is a tape for heritage development. Today is January the 13th, 1982. The narrator, would you say your name, please?
Gee, I can't hear. That's a trouble.
Would you say your name, please?
I'm Sister Joseph Priest, and I'm going to give you a little resume of the Sisters of St. Joseph in Cumberland of St. Patrick's. It was St. Edward's Academy, and it was conducted by the Sisters of Mercy from the Mother House in Baltimore. And the Sisters of St. Joseph went to Cumberland in September of 1988. And at that time, there was two schools. There was a boys' school, and
was it a girls' school?
Can't think of the name, isn't it, something?
Yeah.
You want to turn it off for a minute? The two schools were on the same property, and the boys' school was the Bailey Hall, and it was called from Bishop Bailey, who was a relative of Mother Seton's, and he is now buried in Emmitsburg, where Mother Seton's remains are. And they were taught by Sister Gonzaga and Sister Berkman's.
Our sisters.
And Sister Berkman's. The girls' school was in the school where the convent was connected to the convent, and there were three rooms. And they were taught by Sister Mary Lewis and Sister Martina and Sister Louise. The Bailey Hall was raised to build a new hall, which they called Carroll Hall. It was a very large building, an athletic building, and a large auditorium. And then they merged. They all had to go into the school building. And later they built three new rooms on the school building. Shut up. Now, in the first graduating class was Sister Gertrude Miltenberger, who afterwards became one of the founders of the Marian Oak community. And she was very well known. In the younger grade was my sister Flora. Sister Helen Arnold joined the Notre Dames, and she became the Superior General of the Notre Dames. We all paid tuition, except the ones who couldn't. And we paid in the first three grades, we paid 50 cents a month. And the next grade was 75. And the high school was $1 a month. We also paid for our books. And we paid 5 cents a month for the janitors. We paid for everything, except the ones who couldn't afford to pay. I shut up a minute. Bishop Walsh's death, July 29, 1981, reminded me of Sister Pierre. Sister taught Bishop Walsh in Cumberland, and he always corresponded with her, and came to Baden, to the Mother House, to visit her. He was taken a prisoner in China and was released. And he died at their infirmary at Mary Noble. But they were always very good friends. I should have known.
Did you know Bishop Walsh?
Yeah. Mrs. Walsh's family was a very religious family, and they said the rosary every day together, no matter where they were, they had to be home for the rosary. He had three sisters in religion, one of the Notre Dame's, and one of the little sisters of the poor, and one of the medical missions. They were a very religious family, and I nursed his mother in an illness around the Thanksgiving while I was doing private duty. They were very much admired, and one son was an attorney, and he became Judge Walsh. He and my brother were very good friends. My brother, attorney, William E. McHugh, and he eulogized him in the service they always have for deceased members. When Sister Pierre was teaching Bishop Walsh, one Christmas, they asked Sister Pierre what she wanted for Christmas. And she said that she wanted the world with a fence around it. So they got her a globe and put a little Christmas fence around it. Sister St. Charles was a music teacher, and she was there for about 8 years. She was a very wonderful teacher, and she especially put on nice graduation exercises and commencements. And the Bailey Hall, where they had the exercises, was always too small. Everyone would come, Protestant, Catholic, all would come to Sister St. Charles's little entertainment. And one year, she got the idea that she could probably put it on in the Academy of Music. When she approached Monsignor Roger Ballard, he was in agreement. And he said that to see the manager, what he would do about letting her have the Academy of Music, which was the big theater in the town. He consented and said all he would ask was that she paid for the lighting. The hall was crowded up to the second, third gallery, and they put it on two nights. They continued having their graduations in the Academy of Music until the Carroll Hall was completed, which was a lovely building with a very large auditorium and all kinds of activities, bowling alleys, pool, libraries, and a large dance hall, which we enjoyed very much. Later on, it was occupied by the Christian Brothers, and the Christian Brothers taught there until they went to the new high school, which now is taught by the Ursulines and the Notre Dame and the Christian Brothers. The Notre Dame succeeded the Sisters of St. Joseph when they left in June 1907. The Sisters regretted very much when the Sisters were leaving. They were very fond of our sisters. They admired us mostly for our poverty and charity. And they were very generous. They always brought food, and the few families who lived in the country always brought stuff from their farm. When they came to school in the morning, you would see the sisters' porch covered with produce that they brought from the farm. have the such a real patch of poverty. You could see it in every way. And when the Notre Dame's came, the appearance changed. They put curtains to the windows. The sisters only had inside shutters. Much better furniture than furniture in the convent and the which the convent people didn't like too well. But it was gradually, as that generation passed along, they welcomed the Notre Dame much more, which is a present time a nice feeling. But in the beginning, they were more in favor of the poverty and the charity. The sisters visited the sick, and they gave to the poor. They collected clothes for the poor, and they took food to the poor. And many of the afflicted who came to Mass, I remember just one old lady, Mary Cordial, who had paralysis, and they would take her over to the convent and feed her. Many asked for charity. They were very, very good. They visited the sick after school. They taught school all day, and they visited the sick after school and Saturdays and holidays. Sister Bernard Smith was stationed in Cumberland, and she had the twin brothers, the Smiths, who were in the Altoona Diocese. And they used to visit Cumberland frequently when they come down from Altoona to Cumberland. They were great friends of Monsignor Wonders. And we used to always be glad to see them because we had a little recreation when they came. So this one day, Father Tom Smith had a little book, storybook, and he said he would give it to the best boy in the room. Well, no boy stood up. So finally he said he would give it to the worst boy in the room, and my brother Will stood up and got the book. So it was always very sacred in our house. The book was there for a long time, and it was finally happened to him. But anyhow, that was the end of the book.
When you were in school, were the boys and girls in class together?
Yes.
But earlier they had been separate, hadn't they?
They only separated after the Notre Dame's came.
Oh. When they had Bailey Hall, was that separate for boys?
That was for the boys. Bailey Hall was for the boys, but it was torn down.
Oh.
Before I started. No, it was after I went to school. And it was torn down, and then the boys merged with the girls, and they were together until just a few years ago, when the brothers came. When the brothers came to Cumberland, Father Wonder told me this. He offered them the Carroll Hall to teach, but the big shots took him over to the west side, took him over to the west side, and they taught there in the home where Father Groninger's people lived, grandparents of the McMullins, and those people over there all had a lot of money. We were more of the ordinary class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But St. Patrick's was the rich and the poor alike. But anyhow, Father Wonder wanted the brothers at St. Patrick's, and they refused to come. They went to the west side, and they were in the parish where the monastery was, right next to the monastery, which made a bad feeling with Father Wonder, although my brother went there. When they opened, Stan went there to school. I just can't figure if I do that. Well, but right away, my father sent him over there to school anyhow. Then, Father Mother told me this. Later on, oh, many years later, they were going to leave Cumberland. They weren't making a go of it.
The brothers were going to leave.
And
the brothers were going to leave.
They came to Monsignor Munder. Now, he told me this, so this is a true story. I wouldn't put it on the air. But when I graduated from Duquesne University, they had not yet established a chair of nursing. It was later on one of the recent chairs at the university.
About when did you graduate from Duquesne?
1927. I graduated from school of nursing.
And Sister Dimphna too?
Yes, Sister Dimphna. Later on, then they established the School of Nursing. And one of St. Rose, Holy Rosary graduates, Miss LaFace, she came in training at St. Joseph's. And then when she graduated as a nurse at St. Joseph's, she attended Duquesne University, which was one of the first graduates in the School of Nursing. She got her theory at Duquesne University under the first dean. Mr. Face, she got her theory at Duquesne, and then she came to St. Joseph's for her practical work. And I taught her practical work. The dean came frequently to check on how Mr. Face was getting along, and she was doing very well. She has since married and done very well. And she is now Mrs. Novello, and she teaches in Erie at the college. She's been dean there. She's always been a very successful nurse. She's had positions in the American Nurses Association. I hear from her, and I'm very proud of her success, being a graduate of our school at Holy Rosary, and also at St. Joseph's Hospital, which no longer exists.
Yeah. Do you want this off?